This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We can't get enough. She was on for 3 hours instead of Corey Eppola. I was just thinking, here's my first question to you, and I was thinking about this as I was hearing your sound bites there. Who would be the polar opposite of you on the station?
Probably Miss Carrie.
Carrie? No.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Because she's nice and sweet and kind to people, and she's not going to cuss anybody out. She's not going to put anybody in a headlock. She's so patient, and she's just like, yeah, sure, whatever you need, I'll do it. And I'm the exact opposite. Hell no, I ain't going to do it, even if it's my job. That's how I roll. I don't want you to expect nothing from me. That way you won't ask.
That's why we work well together, right?
Oh, Saturdays, yes.
I don't know.
She's been a joy. Yes, Carrie, she has been a joy.
Carrie was about to put me in a headlock in the first hour. You didn't see it, but...
I didn't. I don't know that, kid. But you bring that out of people, though. I mean, that's really not on Carrie. That's on you.
That is true.
If it happens to everybody that you encounter, then it's probably you.
That's what I say about Chad, because Chad always, every Monday, he comes in with a story about how... He got into a little, not a fight, but there's always tension with wherever Chad goes.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, that's one of those things. That's not a their problem. I think that's a you problem.
And I think it happens 52 weeks out of the year, 52 Mondays straight. We can pull the sound bites and mash them together. Dan Cook put together a little compilation for New Year's Eve.
There's always something
with that guy.
But I was thinking, okay, if I look at the polar opposite of Shaletta, black woman, boisterous. I'm thinking the total opposite of that is probably like a Blois Olson.
Yes, now that is true. I was online the other day. Ben and David, it's Blois. We were laughing at Blois. Yeah, Blois Olson. Yes.
White milk toast kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably.
Yeah.
I will admit it. We love Blois. We don't want to pretend that we're not friends of Blois. Blois.
Them. These jokes are only funny because they're true, and we love them.
That's true.
And we would say it to his face. Yes, we will, and we have.
Comedy is about being authentic. So let me ask you this. Your Thanksgiving, how did it go? Now, I want to ask you this, and I texted you before this to make sure this is okay, but obviously you're divorced now, right?
You know, Adam, you are going to help me navigate this because I am menopausal.
Okay.
And
I don't know if I can help you through that.
I am emotional, Sean and I are celebrating Thanksgiving together as a divorced couple.
All right.
This is our first time, at a holiday as exes, right? And so I'm torn because I want to cuddle with him, but I want to cuss him. You know, I want to hold his hand, but I want to slap his face.
Huh.
So I'm just like, you know, it's just so many mixed emotions, and it's not that we're not having a good time, and you know, so he's still cooking everything because you know I don't cook. That wasn't the deal. He cooks. I'm just pretty, and so he brought all the food from Ohio where he lives now, and it was all kind of pre-done in the little glass dishes, and all he had to do was put it in the oven and warm it up, and then dinner was served for Thanksgiving, but you know. This is new. I mean, he was always cooking at home, and, we drank, and I washed the dishes, and we listened to holiday music, and now, here he comes on Thanksgiving Day, mid-morning, with his dishes, and they're already made.
Let me ask you this. The decision to do that, to be together over Thanksgiving, when was that made, and I guess, did you have any trepidation about it?
No, because I knew in order for me to eat, he had to be here because I don't know how to cook. So if his kids were going to eat turkey and dressing, he had to be here. And, you know, he wants to be here with the family.
Sure.
You know, we still want to be a unit. And, you know, he tells me all the time, we're still partners. Don't forget, we're still partners. Yep. And, you know, when we were, you know, filling out the paperwork, the reason that, you know, kind of everything went real easy with us as far as divorce goes is because, you know, for most of it, on the paperwork, it says parents will decide. You know, yep. We always felt like we didn't want some judge who didn't know us to tell us what was best for our kids. So we said, you know, parents will decide. Well, who's going to have them for Thanksgiving? We'll decide. What did you know, what about the weekends and Christmas? And almost every line on there, it says, with regard to the kids, it says parents will decide. Because we just didn't want somebody to tell us what to do with our own kids. But it just feels different. Adam, did you go through that?
Well, here's the thing.
You have to really navigate this for me because I ain't never been here. And it's, I'm emotional. I'm balled up on the bed right now in the fetal position talking to you.
Well, first of all, good on you both that you are able to do that. And look, that's what it's all about. It's about the children. And I was in the same situation, even though we do have an organized schedule, but it's 50-50. And there is no issue between me and my ex about, well, you're getting more time, I'm getting more. It is from the moment we were divorced to now, it has always been very, very smooth about, yeah, this is our time, this is your time, splitting up the holidays. That's one thing, but yeah, you know, when holidays come around, because we talk about this all the time about mental health too, holidays, while we look at holidays as a joyous time where we are together with family, it can also be the complete opposite about, boy, you know, I am missing someone this holiday season. I feel like I'm more alone this holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to magnify it and make it that much worse. So I am all about trying to help you navigate that because it isn't easy. I've said this publicly before that the end of my marriage, I kind of treated it in my own mind like a death. Like that, you know, you had a marriage, you had a relationship with someone that was good. Yes, there were problems that we weren't able to overcome. But you can look back fondly and treat that connection that you had with that person and mourn for it, but at the same time remember it fondly and also move on and try to coexist, especially for your kids.
Okay, but damn, Adam, I mean, I love these kids and everything, but when is it going to be about me?
Yeah, that's true. You know what? You're 100% true, though, because you have to be – there are times, though, you have to be selfish. This is a situation where it's, you know, it's time for me, too. But, you know, we're not talking about abandoning your kids or anything like that. But there's also a time where, you know what, this is about me, and this is about giving myself what I deserve, right?
And you know, you don't want to feel guilty about it. You know, Sean is here, and I'm like, man, you know, I can get away and, you know, have some time alone. But then I know the kids want us to be together as a family, which hardly ever happens since he moved to Ohio. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'll just wait till you come back again in January sometime. And, you know, maybe I can go shopping then. I wanted to take advantage of some Black Friday deals. But, you know, they want to go over to this candy cane land at the Mall of America, and they want us to, you know, spend some time together just as a family, just the six of us. And you know, and that's going to be special. But damn, you know, I'm like, can I have a minute? Can I have a little time, you know, just with me? And I don't want to be selfish, but, you know, I do want the kids to have, you know, that family time with the six of us together.
Can I ask you this about your kids and how much they completely understand what's going on and they accept that, you know, Sean came back and had Thanksgiving
together?
Yeah, it was
so awesome. My best friend is an elementary school counselor, right? And so I told her, I said, look, I don't want a house full of sad kids. You're going to have to give me some tips because I'm always open to parenting. Mm-hmm. You know, I talk to Laura all the time because she's got a good boy. You got them girls. I got these boys over here. I need some boy help.
Can't help you there.
So, Laura is always giving me really good tips because she's got a really good son.
Yes, she does.
And so I'm always open to listen to tips and suggestions. And she just really, my girlfriend, who's an elementary school counselor, gave me some really good advice about separation anxiety that the kids may be facing. And, you know, everything that she told me to do and implement in my house, I did, Adam. And I have to tell you that I haven't had one child cry.
Wow.
I haven't had anybody to be sad because Dad is not here. But, you know, we're a happy family.
Hell yeah.
And one of our family mottos is happiness is a choice. No matter what is going on in your life,
that's
you
right.
have to choose to
yep.
be happy. And so we've chosen happiness. And so, you know, we've got all this technology so we can see him every day. But you're right, it's not the same. And they do, even with their autism, they absolutely understand what's going on. Because we sat them down and we talked to them. And when we did it together. You know, we held hands, we smiled, we laughed, we cracked a few jokes. You know, talked about how Dad was finally free, and everybody was excited for Daddy. That you know, I put the key in the chain, and you know, let him go, and he can run in the wild. And so the kids were just like so excited and for Daddy. And then we went and had ice cream.
Yep.
And we came on back home, and we spent the rest of the day together. So they understand, and it's so funny because when Sean calls the house from Ohio, and they give me the phone, they say, "Mom, your used-to-be husband is on the phone."
That sounds like something you would say. Chip off the old block. Can you hang on for another segment here?
Husband. Yeah,
okay.
Buddy, I ain't going nowhere.
All right, you know, and I'd love, we're getting some texts about people coming to grips with that, you know, those first holidays after a divorce like that. And I'd love to hear people share their stories about, you know, obviously it's, we can all commiserate together about the ups and the downs of it. So by all means, share your story. 651-461-9226. More on a Feisty Friday with Shaletta, 118 WCCO. 122, Adam in for Chad on a Friday afternoon. As Shaletta rejoins the conversation on a Feisty Friday, I saw you tweeted this. Now imagine waiting for a package. Now we're all hearing about the supply chain issues. We're not going to be able to get anything in time for Christmas. But then you tweeted this story about down in Alabama, FedEx. These FedEx drivers, what do? They just threw a bunch of packages away.
300 to 400 packages were found in a ravine in a little town in Alabama. It took them 2 days to get all the packages out, then get them back to the warehouse, get them sorted. They were all full of dirt and mud and wet. I just can't. And it had to be. They're still investigating who did it. It had to be a FedEx driver, because who else has access to 300 to 400 FedEx packages of all sizes and shapes? They had everything in there from food to TVs.
What? I'm wondering, so is this just like a lazy FedEx driver saying, you know what?
It's got to be somebody who quit. That's my thinking.
Yeah.
This is my theory. I don't have an investigator on the scene that I know. But I'm thinking it was somebody's last day. They said to hell with it. They threw all those packages in there, probably left the truck and took off.
I ain't delivering nothing today.
But it still takes time to throw all the stuff in the ravine.
Right.
It's not like he could just take the truck and, you know, lift it up and pour it out. He had to take all those packages and start tossing them. That had to take his whole shift. And I'm thinking maybe, Adam, he came back with an empty truck and was like, yep, delivered all the packages. They're where they're supposed to be as far as I'm concerned. Clocked out, got his last check, and left. Because they didn't say a FedEx truck was missing. They just said the packages were there.
What's the point of that, though?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe disgruntled. I don't know. But this is the thing. They couldn't even get them all out in one day. They had to have the sheriff's department come and guard the ravine because they had to leave some of them there overnight because they couldn't even get them all out. I mean, it's not like, you know, 300 little boxes. They got huge boxes in there. That's just the craziest thing I've ever heard.
People,
as hard as it is to get a package on time anyway,
I know.
300 to 400 of them are hanging out in a ravine in Alabama.
I'm wondering about, so if you are waiting on, like, how long this was. So, like, did you order something, like, months ago and then suddenly shows up at your house? And then you're like, I totally, have you ever done that? Have you ever ordered something and you forgot that you ordered it?
No, I'm ACD. I know.
You know exactly?
Oh, I'm tracking. As soon as I ordered, I got the tracking number, and I'm looking at it. I know when it's going to be here.
See, my short-term memory is such that I often forget, and it's great because then it's like Christmas. It's like, whoa, what is this? Somebody got me a nice gift.
I'm going to send you some of Andrew's Adderall.
Then I got to go through my emails and say, oh, yeah, I did order that.
See, you're like, who bought me this. Oh, I bought me this. Oh, my God. Yeah. And a girlfriend of mine down south, because the reason I came up on the story was because I was looking to see if there was some kind of issue. A girlfriend of mine sent me a little treat, you know, because she knew I was going to be going through the holidays, yep. You know, as a divorced woman with Sean here and the kids. And then, you know, so first Thanksgiving without Papa B, he passed away, you know, a couple of weeks back. So she sent me, like, some wine because she does this wine stuff and, you know, the cheese and crackers. And, you know, she had a couple of other little things in there in a shirt, and it never got here. And I was like, well, maybe there's something going on. Let me Google, and found that story about the FedEx pay. I was like, I wonder if my wine's down there in the ravine, because it did come from down south.
Could be,
you know, maybe he drank the wine, and then that happened. I don't know what happened with the FedEx
fell
driver.
Off the wagon, and then the packages went off the wagon. You are so busy. You like to help out, and you've always got something going on. What are the next couple of days going to be like for you? Do you have various places you need to be?
Well, you know what? I am working with the Autism Society of Minnesota. We're putting on a sensory-friendly vaccine clinic for kids with autism who are getting the COVID vaccine. Because, you know, I don't know if I told you this, but I went to get my kids tested, and the lady didn't realize that my kids had autism, and she was real impatient with Daniel. And so I just said, you know, we need to do something, because there's other kids like that who are going to be afraid to go to someplace new and get this vaccine. The lights are going to be on. There's going to be sensory overload. The people may be impatient. So the Autism Society of Minnesota, Spiro Schools, and this multicultural network of Somali and African people who help kids with special needs who are immigrants. We're all going to come together in Minneapolis on December 18th. And so we're just kind of putting that together, training the nurses with Hennepin County about kids with autism who have special needs, because we just really want these kids, when they go to get a shot, it's already terrifying,
yep.
Right? And so when you have special needs, it just amplifies it even that much more. So we're training the nurses. We're, you know, working with the space and making sure that the lights aren't too bright, that it's not sensory overload, and just making sure that we have enough staff there to help these kids. Because it's really all about making sure that they have what they need and making this process as easy as possible for them.
I was going to ask you, I remember, you know, when the U.S. Bank Stadium created that room, you know, a sensory room.
Yeah.
How can you tell, are more and more places now realizing the needs for such
yeah.
a space, especially ones that are like, you know, louder and more busy?
And they realize that we want to be there. I don't think that they realize, like a football game, that we wanted to take our kids to the football game. We wanted to take our kids to the basketball game, because we have other normal developing kids, and we want to go places as a family, but we don't, you know, we don't want our normal developing kids to miss out on stuff, but then we don't want our kids who have special needs not to be able to enjoy the experience too. And so, you know, when the Vikings and U.S. Bank called and said, we're doing this sensory-friendly room, you know, they talked to parents like me and Sean, and talked to the kids, and they talked to Fraser School to put it together so that, you know, they would have something like this. And even the Mall of America, they got the autism certification where their staff is trained, and they can go in. You know, there's I can't remember the name of the place. It's like an aquarium. It's in Rosedale Mall. The name escapes me. Now, Carrie, see if you could find it for me. But they are amazing. We went there, and they had the most amazing tour guide. The lights were low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they walked us through. They were very gentle with my kids. And there's a petting zoo and an aquarium. And then, you know, just this past weekend, we went to the Children's Museum. Same deal. They had all the attendants there. They have a private playtime where you can go in, and the doors are closed, so it's safe for kids who wander. And, Adam, it is just amazing, because 7 years ago when Brandon was diagnosed with autism, we couldn't go nowhere.
Yep.
Right? Because nobody, like you said, was thinking about kids with special needs.
Mm-hmm.
But as I think it's like 1 in 54 kids have autism, these places are realizing, hey, these are our customers.
Yeah.
These people pay money to come here. We need to make this environment as inclusive as possible. And we talk about all the time diversity and inclusion. Well, that just doesn't mean black people and white people and Hispanic people and Asian people. That means people with a disability and children with a disability. They want to be included in the fund, too. So places are just doing what they can to make sure that they accommodate our kids. And I really appreciate it when they reach out to us.
It's great.
And ask us what we need.
Sequest. Was it Sequest?
Sequest.
Yes.
Oh, Sequest is the best. I mean, Adam, they had the little girl, and she was a tour guide. And at the end, I was like, you were amazing. I said, you act like you've been autism certified or trained. She was like, well, they do provide training to all the staff so we can understand how to handle kids who have sensory issues.
That's
and
great.
Children with special needs. And, I mean, Adam, we used to go to these places, and these people would be impatient. They didn't want to deal with us. If we asked for a room, you know, that was kind of quiet so we could calm down, they didn't have one. And a lot of times these places, if you leave out, you miss your spot in line. So we would have to go back out to the car. And at that point, we would just leave.
Yeah.
Like the Vikings games, we would just leave.
Yep.
First quarter, second quarter, because, you know, we just couldn't get to a place that we could calm our kids down. We'd have to go back out to the car. And at that point, who wants to go through the trouble of going back in?
That's great that they're doing that. Shaletta, you got a show tomorrow?
I got a show tomorrow.
What do you got
coming up? Who we got coming on the show? Carrie's my producer. I got a producer now, honey. Huh?
She's shaking her head.
No, we have a lot. There is a lot coming up. You mentioned earlier when you were filling in for Corey, Comcast just gave away, is awarding minority businesses. Do you want to talk about that? We're going to have that
on.
Yeah.
So Comcast gave away $110,000 grants to small minority-owned businesses, and tomorrow is Small Business Saturday. So we're going to be talking to Comcast about why they decided to help 100 Twin Cities businesses. This ain't 100 worldwide. This is right here in the Twin Cities. 100 of them got $10,000 from the Comcast
Nice.
Rise grant. And so we're going to be talking to Comcast about that and then talking to one of the businesses that benefited from this and how they're able to pay their staff and keep their doors open and do some other things with that money so that they could live to fight again. Because, you know, we're always talking about how small businesses are the backbone of the economy. Well, Comcast is doing what they can to strengthen them.
Good on them. We'll be listening. Thanks, Shaletta. Thanks for the time
today.
All
right. Thanks,
Shaletta,
buddy.
Feisty Fridays, 132 News Talk 830 WCCO. Peter Jackson's massive Beatles documentary, Get Back, is now available. We'll talk to one person who's watched it with some mixed feelings. Ross Ralia from the Pioneer Press right around the corner. Adam in for Chad on a Friday, 133 WCCO.
What would you like to see the Beatles do now?
A show. A live show. That's it.
JoJo was a man who thought he was a loner, but he knew it couldn't last.
We should do the show in a place we're not allowed to do it, getting forcibly ejected.
I think that's too dangerous. I mean, that is an interesting thought of you all being beaten up.
That is clips from Peter Jackson's new monumental piece of work, Get Back, this three-part Beatles documentary. Now, I remember in the depths of the pandemic when it first hit and we were clinging to anything that would give us hope, I remember Peter Jackson coming out with this kind of teaser trailer about this and these crystal clear color images of the Beatles and thinking, oh boy, there will be something that hopefully we'll get to watch. And that time is here. It has been released on Disney Plus now, and I haven't seen it. I can't wait to see it. But Ross Ralia with the Pioneer Press has, and he joins us now on WCCO Radio. Ross, followed you on Twitter for many years. Good to talk to you finally after all these years. Your first impression of this documentary?
Well, let me start just sort of to put it in context exactly what it is.
Yep.
Excuse me. 67 was the year of Sgt. Pepper. 68, they did the White Album, and they had stopped touring in 66. And so they had done all this elaborate Sgt. Pepper record, this sprawling white album, and it was Paul McCartney's idea, like, let's just try to go back to what we were in the beginning, just like four guys sitting together writing songs, like just really stripped back to basics. So January 69, they start working on this record, and they also decided to have a film crew there to sort of document the process. And the sessions were in the studio, the sessions were hit and miss. The tensions were really high. At one point, George Harrison quit the band. They ended up finishing off the sessions at their own studio. But then when it came time to like sort of look at all of what they had done, no one was really happy with it. So they ended up putting all of the footage, the audio, all of it sort of on the shelf. Then they went and made Abbey Road. And then in 70, they cobbled together a record that came out at like a month after they broke up, and the film came out at the same time. And so basically what Peter Jackson did was he had access to all of that footage, and he recut his own sort of take on it. That's almost 8 hours over three episodes.
And the amount of film that he was given, it was an extraordinary amount, right?
Yeah, I believe it was 60 hours of film and 100-plus, I think, hours of audio. Just a massive amount of material. And originally, it was going to be just like a feature film that was going to come out last year for the 50th anniversary of the album and film. And I should add, meanwhile, that the film itself shows McCartney in particular in a really bad light. And as such, he's basically never really... The last time it was officially released was in the early 80s on Laserdisc. It's never been on DVD or Blu-ray. You can't watch on a streaming service. He kind of buried it. But instead, we're getting this, you know, eight-hour look at the same footage through, you know, a different viewpoint.
A different viewpoint. So is that view of McCartney, is it completely different now? I mean, if you've watched this and we watch this, do we still feel that way about Paul McCartney? Tell me about that.
Jackson went out of his way, I think, to use every single moment of the band smiling and laughing and having fun and kind of edited around. I mean, there is tension in there, definitely, but it paints, I think, almost an unrealistically happy view of what the band members many times have said was just not a good situation or good experience.
Daniel, I saw your tweet about this, about mixed feelings about this. Somebody who is, I guess, recognizes the impact that the Beatles have had, maybe a passing fan of the Beatles, would they find this enjoyable?
Well, that was my big question. And the funny thing is, I'm a huge Beatles fan. When I was a kid, I read a Beatles biography that kind of inspired me to want to write about music, because I had mistakenly thought, oh, every band must have a story this fascinating. And it turns out it's not true. But I was even kind of reticent. I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to watch this, because for various reasons. But the minute I started it was like, oh, wow. The footage, as you had mentioned, is they did some sort of technical remastering of it. I mean, it looks like high-definition footage.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of magical to see them interacting and just sort of making these songs. And these sessions produced a fair amount of the Abbey Road songs and some songs that ended up on George Harrison and John Lennon's solo albums. So it's not just a dozen or so Let It Be songs. It's quite a bit more than that. But, you know, as a fan, it's thrilling. I don't know if a casual fan will be thrilled for almost 8 hours.
And for someone like yourself, talking to Ross Relyer with the Pioneer Press, who knows the history of the Beatles, knows the behind-the-scenes tension of that time in their lives, is it too glossed over?
It addresses more than I was expecting it would. But I do think overall, if you watch the 8 hours, you're going to... It doesn't quite accurately portray what I think actually happened. But...
You, when we were arranging this interview, you talked about this pandemic, and this is something that I've found fascinating and really questioned about musicians and this time over the last 18 months, even though many of them tried to carry on like normal with, you know, streaming shows, things like that. This time where they really weren't on the road, what were they doing? Were they writing new music, producing new music? Tell me about your feelings on that and how it might shape come to manifest itself next year, and hopefully with our fingers crossed when things even get open up even more.
Yeah, I think you know, I think a lot of musicians, maybe those first few months were like everyone else, just kind of in a haze. But I think once people sort of started to kind of adjust to what the pandemic was like, I think a lot of people made records. I mean, there was a remarkable amount of music that came out despite, you know, no touring or whatever. But I think this, especially in the new year, you're going to see a lot of new music, a lot of like old bands kind of getting back together and experimenting, just kind of doing whatever. I think a great example of the sort of productivity that's possible. Look at Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
She released about 6 hours of music over the last year and a half. She did two new full original albums, and then she re-recorded two of her old albums. She's going to re-record the first six, and then recorded all this bonus material that hadn't been released at the time. One person put 6 hours of music. I think that's the extreme, but I do think that we're going to hear a lot of bands that we haven't heard from in a while. And I really think, assuming the pandemic is over in the new year, we're going to see bands reuniting. It's just going to be like this big nostalgic.
Who? Who's going to
like one? Well, my big one, and people will argue with me about this, but I think Oasis is going to get back together.
Man. We had audible gasps, Ross, in the studio to that. My producer audibly gasped when you said that.
Well, what struck me was, maybe it was even a year ago, just one day out of the blue, I get a press release saying that the brothers had formed a new company and that they were putting together this concert film. And I thought, if they're willing to work together,
yep.
I mean, there's so much money out there for them to just grab. I can't help but think they're going to figure out a way to do it.
As far as shows that are coming in 2022, what are you most looking forward to?
Personally, what I'm most looking forward to, just as a fan, is New Order and the Pet Shop Boys. Yeah. The tour had initially been announced for 2020, and then it got pushed to this year, and now it's been pushed next fall. But just sheerly as a fan, that's what I'm looking forward to. One that'll be fun to cover is Motley Crue, Poison, yeah. And... who else is on? Oh, Def Leppard. And I believe it's at Target Field next summer.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. The lead singers from Def Leppard and Motley Crue, neither of them can really sing anymore, but
that doesn't stop a lot of acts.
Exactly.
From over the last year, what we've seen, what was your favorite moment from music so far this year in 2021?
Of this year.
In the Twin Cities for live shows.
George Strait was great.
Yeah.
He had retired from touring in like 2012, 2013, and he only does a handful of shows every year. And he played US Bank Stadium, and he's kind of boring live, but he has so many hits. It's like, I saw it described as like an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah.
And Chris Stapleton was one of the opening acts.
Right.
And he did almost a headlining length set. And he was fantastic. That was a lot of fun. And Harry Styles at the X.
Yeah, Harry Styles. I took my daughters to that. I had a hell of a time at Harry Styles. That was fantastic. Great show.
It's just amazing how he's developed into just this like full-on rock star.
Yeah.
And I saw the first One Direction tour of the States, and I would have never in a million years guessed that he had that in him.
That he would have been the breakaway star, yep.
The other thing about that Harry Styles show is I took my partner in, and afterwards he was like, you know, we had to wear masks,
yep.
And there was the COVID vaccination proof thing. But he was like, this almost felt like normal again.
100% right. I remember, I forget the woman who opened for him. Jenny Lewis, is that it? Was that her
name? Yeah, yep.
I remember when she was on stage and singing, I had that moment where I was like, oh, my God, does this feel good to be in an arena again and hear live music? And that was just mm-hmm. so fantastic.
Yeah, and she's great, too.
Absolutely. Ross, I enjoyed this very much. I hope we can have you on again sometime to talk about music and other things that you're covering for the Pioneer Press.
Oh, absolutely.
That's Ross Reilly from the Pioneer Press talking about the Beatles documentary, Peter Jackson's Get Back, which is three parts. It's on Disney Plus. You can check that out and read Ross's work in the Pioneer Press. More to come. It's 1:51. I'm Adam Carter in for Chad on a Friday on News Talk 830 WCCO. Your Lindis Construction time check is 1:55. Time to get a quote for clog-free LeafGuard brand gutters. Ross, getting us excited. Kerry, you gasped audibly when you heard that Oasis. He thinks Oasis would get back together.
They should get back together.
How high on the list does that rank up of like musical acts that you'd like to see?
When they came, my sister got to see them a long time ago, mm-hmm. and I was too young to go still. And then they broke up, and I would love to see them. I just think I love their music. Yep. We're getting my three-year-old. He really likes Oasis.
Really?
Yes.
He's into Oasis. For no other reason, they should get back together so your son could get a chance.
First concert. What if that's his first concert?
Would you put earmuffs on him? Would you put the big headphones on him?
Guess you have to.
Yeah, that age, I think you do.
Did you do that? With your daughter at Harry Styles?
No. We were up in the upper deck in the nosebleeds. So I wasn't worried about their hearing. I was worried about my hearing more than theirs.
Yeah.
They got years to damage their hearing. I've already done the damage. So this just in, by the way, now, I don't want to say it's a coincidence or anything, but I live in Rosemount, as you know, if you've listened to the show. And I haven't lived there a long time, but it was just announced that President Biden will be traveling to Rosemount next Tuesday, November 30th, to discuss how the bipartisan infrastructure law will deliver for the American people and create good-paying union jobs, that from his press person. So President Biden, coming to Minnesota, will be in Rosemount on Tuesday. So I don't know yet if I'll be meeting with the president at any point. All I'm saying is I live there.
Do you normally meet with presidents or just
I was 10 feet from then President George W. Bush my first year working here. He toured a facility in downtown St. Paul, and I was able to be the pool reporter for local radio. So I was literally 10 feet from President Bush. So that's the closest I've ever been to a sitting U.S. president. We could arrange something. I don't know if I will be able to meet with President Biden. But being a resident, I think, you never know. Maybe I'll have that opportunity. Coming up in the next hour, lots to discuss. Let's start it off with this. Give me your stories from yesterday. Thanksgiving yesterday, I want awkward stories. I want... did politics come up? Did vaccines come up? Let's clear the air. Now that you're no longer with your in-laws, your chance to bitch about them, saying, God, I can't believe Cousin Larry did this. I can't believe Aunt Margaret said this. 651-461-9226. Give me your Thanksgiving Day horror stories. That's coming up. Also, Matthew Collar, Purple Insider, will preview the Vikings and 49ers. That comes along at 2:35. Adam Carter in for Chad on a Friday on News Talk 830 WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.